This is the Cedar Creek Church Living It Out podcast, a midweek reminder where we discuss key takeaways and principles from the weekend message to help you live out the truth that you matter.
Welcome to the Living It Out podcast. My name is Kelly Pagel, and with me, Andy Rechtenwald.
I'm glad to be here.
I'm always glad to have you here. It's always so much fun to have you on the show, mm-hmm. and we have great conversation, I think.
So, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so listeners, we're glad that you're here today, and we are talking about the third week
I know,
of Losing My Religion. I know, it's gone really fast. You actually gave the message this week, mm-hmm. and part of that was, I mean, your kids have, this might be their favorite message.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to go to Chuck E. Cheese for research.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That is awesome.
Yeah, they were excited when I told them. So we did go, and I talked a little bit about it this weekend.
Yeah.
They had a good time. It was fun. It was fun, but it's not Dave and Buster's. And Dave and Buster's is just they're on a different level.
They are.
Chuck E. Cheese. You know, I'm surprised they're still in business, if I'm being honest. and if anybody loves Chuck E. Cheese, I'm not trying to be offensive or. It's just my preference is Dave and Buster's and Chuck E. Cheese. You know, it can be fun. There's games and stuff. And what they do well, what Chuck E. Cheese does well, is you can buy time instead of like just credits or tokens. You buy time.
Yeah.
So you can buy an hour of unlimited play, which is cool. And that's what we
cool.
did. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you mentioned that.
Yep.
And I was like, wow, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun. It was a good time.
Yeah.
And I got content for the message, so it worked.
It worked. Yeah. It was good research. It was definitely good
yeah.
research. So, before we dive into your message, mm-hmm. do you want to give a quick snapshot of what you talked about? I know there was a lot. You talked about a lot.
Yeah.
But just to bring our listeners up to speed and then.
Yeah. So we talked about what I tried to do was talk about the difference between Jesus's way and the religious way of mm-hmm. doing life. And we zeroed in on Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus is talking to a group of people and he's addressing the Pharisees. He's talking about the Pharisees or the religious leaders mm-hmm. and basically their behaviors and how their behaviors, their religious behaviors were going to bring sorrow or woe onto their life and the lives around them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
it was a lot of scripture to unpack, and some of it was if you read it and you're just like, oh, okay, whatever. And
yep.
It was great to have you unpack that and share.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, it took. I mean, So we took the series from a church in Pennsylvania, LCBC mm-hmm. Church. They had done this last year, I believe it was, and so each week they had already set up. And so when I asked Ben, okay, what's my week look like? He mm-hmm. sent me a link, so I watched the talk ahead of time. And I saw that it was the seven woes or the seven sorrows. And I was like, oh no, not because I wouldn't want to talk about it but it's just because it's such a heavy
mm-hmm.
and it can feel, it's a convicting message. And
very
so
much.
Not that I don't look forward to that, but it's just not, it's not typical maybe
right.
is probably what it is.
Right.
But it ended up being a fun weekend. And also the content, in general, though it was heavy, I think that it was received pretty fairly well by people. Mm-hmm. And the goal is not just to make people feel bad or to address issues in our lives, specifically religious people, but also to give them a way out of it. And
mm-hmm.
Jesus' way is way better than religion. And so I think we did a good job with that. I enjoyed the weekend.
Yeah, it was a great weekend.
Yeah.
So as you were going through all of that material and reviewing it, what were you most excited to share with people?
I think the series in general, this Losing My Religion series, I think has been so good, and this is what excited me, but has been so good at giving people permission to not have to feel like they have to be good enough.
Yeah.
And this particular week was heavy, but as a religious person, because, you know, it's easy, you hear a lot in church world, like, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual, mm-hmm. or I'm not religious, and religion's bad. And I think depending on how you define it, it's bad. And we've mm-hmm. defined it as doing everything you can to earn God's favor, to
right.
earn God's love, and that's bad. James, in his letter, defines religion in a good light. Like, he says, true and undefiled religion is caring for widows and orphans and those less fortunate, essentially. So the way we've defined it is earning God's approval, and that's bad,
mm-hmm.
and that's not good, and that leads to all kinds of things. And what I most look forward to, what I was most excited about, is because I understand the perspective and I understand the approach, to give people an opportunity to experience that freedom from that the word I kept using was to be burdened over and over again. I just said it's burdensome. It's a lot of, it's a heavy burden to carry, thinking you have to measure up and be good enough, because at the end of the day, you know you're not. And so you're just faking it. You're living a life that's full of pressure and stress, and it's unnecessary. And so I was excited that potentially God would use me to give people freedom and to allow people to experience a different way and to be honest about themselves, which is tough, but it's freeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. It is, you know, I think you're right. It depends on how you define it. But regardless of how you define it, the weight that feeling like you have to live up to the rules, you know, I think burdensome is a great word. There's really, it just captures that heaviness with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, I know you mentioned that the material just in and of itself is challenging to talk about, but was there anything that you came across that you were like, oh my goodness, how am I gonna convey this?
The third woe was difficult, or the third sorrow, sorry. So in other translations, it's woe. Mm-hmm. In the New Living Translation, it's sorrow. That one was difficult. That one's the one about swearing by the temple or by the gold. And I read a lot of opinions, a lot of research on that, and it is a lot about oath-taking, and we don't do that, or oath-making. We don't do that anymore. So how does it apply? I think talking with other people about it, I think we did a good job of teaching that it's, even though we don't take oaths anymore, it's prioritizing material things over presence of God, God's stuff over God. And religious people have a tendency to do this. I mean, of course, irreligious people, if you don't believe in God, you're not going to prioritize God. What religious people do is we say God's the priority, but in our actions, it doesn't show that it is. In our actions, it shows something different. So that one was the most challenging, only because it's kind of confusing and it doesn't really relate as much. But I think we got to the heart of it when we talked about how we prioritize, we don't do a good job at prioritizing God and our relationship with Him as it relates to things. And we're especially in the Western world, we're really attracted to material status, wealth, that kind of stuff. So that one was difficult. But the whole message in general was just, I was excited about it because I think as a person that is tempted toward performance and trying to be good enough and pretending like I got it all together, I knew it was going to be a challenge for me personally. And that's always exciting in a sense of like, it's going to convict me. And I think that that allows me to be authentic when it's already pushed and God's already kind of started to reveal stuff in my heart.
Yeah.
Then when I get up and I present and I try to illustrate and teach what God is trying to say, what God is saying in His Word, and I'm trying to make it related to our day and age and also applicable to our lives right now, when God's already started the work in me, it allows me to be more authentic and allows me to be like, hey, I get it. And I think it came through this weekend.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so as well. And I think, you know, that's a really vulnerable space. I'm not a pastor, so, I'm not quite in that same position, but I would imagine that sharing that is a very vulnerable space for you as you get on stage.
Yeah, it can be. I didn't want to be too specific because even though I'm trying to tell everybody to be honest, it doesn't mean you have to get up in front of thousands of people and confess your sins, right? That might be too much.
Yeah.
But to be honest about the fact that I am prone toward comparing my performance to other people's. And for somebody to hear that from a human being like me, but then, you know, if I'm on the stage delivering a message, people have a tendency, right or wrong, to elevate me to some status, right? And even in that, just in that mirror, like I know that about people. And so then it's easy for me to be like, yeah, because my pride will be like, because you're a big deal, Andy. That's why. It's because you're a big, and then you realize, no, I happen to have this time of my life and this gift to be able to do that thing.
Right.
And so then I start, you know, it's easy to compare. So if I can be honest about the general things to 10,000 people or however many it was, that are going to hear this message, if I can be honest enough in general things, it gives them permission to go like, okay, if the guy that I've put on this pedestal, which by the way, you shouldn't put the guy on the stage on a pedestal or the girl on the stage on a pedestal, you shouldn't do that because we hate it, first of all. And second of all, if we love it, things are going to go bad.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if they can see somebody that they look up to potentially spiritually that admits like, hey, I don't measure up, then they can go, okay, I don't either. And what does that look like? And I think that that's a fun space to be in.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
Yeah. Yeah. You give them that opportunity to admit that, I think, and to help everybody realize that none of us measure up.
Yep.
including those that are given the gift to share the message with people. And I think you're right that people, even if you're not a pastor, they look and go, oh, you work at a church, right?
Yeah.
You must be, don't have it all together.
In front of you. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. Yeah. So if you could have had more time, what would you have liked to kind of?
That's a great question. So I believe it's in Luke, there are eight woes.
Okay.
Or there's eight sorrows, I believe, in Luke. And then also in Matthew, there is an eighth included, but the earliest manuscripts don't have it, so it's not shown in our modern translations. And essentially, for those of you that don't know what that really means, is that it was in there for a while, and then the more that we've discovered older manuscript copies of the New Testament, of Matthew, that verse or two, that sorrow wasn't included, and so we can't assume that it was something that Jesus said, so we remove it. It's kind of like in John 8, I believe it is. Mm. Or is it 4? It's one of the, I think it's 8, the woman caught in adultery. Ugh. That story appears, but it's in brackets because it doesn't appear in the most ancient manuscripts, so we don't know that that happened for sure, and so it kind of gets set aside. The end of Mark is the same way, Mark 16, I think, after verse 13. That is those words are not included, so then scholars are like, okay, so we should read it potentially, but we can't assume that that was what was actually said. So there is another woe that talks about praying on widows and I believe praying on widows and calls them vipers or something like that. So it would have been interesting to get into that and then also to look at the other side of it. Like, what is Luke? I think it's in Luke that is the other instance of Jesus talking through this text. So that would have been fun to compare the two. Mm. I also think if we had time, I would have loved to gone through. I gave the setup for the Pharisees and Jesus interacting back and forth. I would have loved the time to go through those arguments that led up to the sorrows.
Oh, yeah.
Because I gave the context, but I think looking at those verse by verse and being able to like show when Jesus is looking at him and saying, like, have you even read the Bible?
Right.
And then there's a setup. The triumphal entry happens previous to this. So Jesus is riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, and they're throwing palm branches there, and everybody's like, this is a big deal. And then he goes into Jerusalem, and in Matthew's account, then he starts flipping over tables and all this stuff, and we couldn't talk about any of that because we just didn't have the time this weekend. Right. The symbolism, the significance of him turning over tables in the temple, and then you can attach that back into the third sorrow where he talks about the value of the temple versus the things. So there is a connection there, I think, and I didn't have the time to even research this enough, but there's a connection there, I think, to him turning over the money changers, the tables in the temple, to him saying, you make people swear by this, but I didn't even have the time to even do the research on that, so I wasn't going to dive deep into it on the weekend. And as we all know, if you were there this weekend, I hit the 35-minute mark every time. Like, I didn't go under, so we didn't have the time necessarily to dive into it. But what I love about the New Testament is the stuff that it reports about Jesus show that he was just very intentional. It doesn't seem like he did anything accidentally, and I'm sure he did. He's a human being. But the stuff that was recorded, he said things very intentionally. Matthew 22, the end, like I pointed out this weekend, the amount of times he frustrated the Pharisees led Matthew to record that they didn't dare ask him any other questions because he just kept frustrating them, and they would ask him a question and he wouldn't give them the right answer, or he wouldn't give them the answer they wanted because they were trying to trap him. So they would ask him, like, who should you pay taxes to? And instead of Jesus being like, well, you shouldn't because the Roman government's bad, which is what they wanted him to say, but then they could get the Roman government to come and punish Jesus for being a rebel. But he knew that, so he wasn't going to answer that way. But he also wasn't going to say, you should pay taxes, because then all the Jews would be like, we hate the Romans. So he said, well, who's on the coin?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then that's his stuff. Give it to him. And you're just, and that's a trans, you know, it's my translation or whatever. But
it's the Andy translation.
But he would frustrate them. And I think in today's day and age, where I do think that truth has been kind of set aside, and there should be a value, we should reevaluate our position on truth as a society, because we've kind of said that there is no truth, and there is. I also think if you swing the pendulum too far the other way, then all that matters is facts, and people don't as much matter anymore, and you're always trying to get people's stance, you're always trying to figure out where do they stand on this issue, and what do they think about this issue. When you see Jesus talking to people, he always sees right through that. And even if we take the woman caught in adultery example, which N.T. Wright says it should be renamed as The Men Caught in Hypocrisy, which I think is a way better title. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's not criticizing the Bible because we titled it, people titled it The Men or The Woman Caught in Adultery. But he says it's The Men Caught in Hypocrisy. Even when you read that story, Jesus didn't have to come out and explain that adultery was wrong. He didn't have to go out there and say, yes, what she is doing is wrong. We know that adultery is wrong because it says so in the law. And they tried to trap him in that. Mm-hmm. They tried to get him to participate in stoning this woman to death or to say out loud, well, I don't think adultery is that big of a deal. Instead, he did something totally unexpected, and that's what frustrated those religious people.
Yeah.
And it frustrates us today because we want Jesus to come out and say certain things, and he doesn't do it mm-hmm. often. So,
yeah,
I found that fascinating too. Didn't have the time, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there could have been a lot of little rabbit trails there that you could have taken.
That's why it's good that we have a clock, because if we didn't, I would go forever and people would be like, what is he talking about?
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. And I think, you know, if you're a listener who wants to go a little bit deeper, mm-hmm. Andy's given you some great options to dive into some of those stories and research and dig in if that's your thing. And if you're like, I'm just getting my hands around this, then that's enough too. So, but some interesting things to think about and to contemplate mm-hmm. I loved what you said about his intentionality behind mm-hmm. everything that he did.
Yeah.
I recall just reading, you were talking about him flipping the tables, but that he came into town and he surveyed that. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until the next day that he actually came back and flipped the tables, right?
I listened to a sermon, I don't remember who did it, but I think it was Matt Chandler out of Texas, but he talked about that. And he said, now it depends on which gospel you read. Matthew doesn't say that he left right away. I believe it's a different gospel, but he does the whole triumphal and everybody's what's he going to do? And he looks around and he just goes home.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, he goes to rest for the night.
Yeah.
It's like nothing happened. And then the next day he comes in and, you know, turns over tables and stuff.
Yeah.
So he never does exactly what you expect him to do.
Right.
Which is awesome.
It is. It's definitely awesome. Well, as we think about how to take mm-hmm. What you talked about, and really it extends further, really the sum of what the messages have been so far, like what are some next steps for people that they can take?
Yeah. For our message this past weekend in particular, the bottom line was you can lose your religion by being honest about you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it starts with you being honest to God about you. So I had someone ask me in the lobby, which was a great question. They had asked, do I have to go to the cross like here to do that? Could I just write it down at home? And I was like, yeah, you can write it down at home. I said, there's also, and if you didn't join the text campaign, I think I talked about it this week. I was on one of the videos this week. So if you haven't joined the text campaign, text MORE to the number 419-490-7007. I talk about this topic in particular. But just saying out loud the sin that you're committing or the thing that you want to get rid of to God can be so freeing.
Yeah.
To actually use the words like, you know, like maybe you could say something like if you're confessing gossip, instead of saying, God, I tend to gossip, you know, whatever. Instead, you're like, no, this morning I actually talked a lot of smack about somebody. I said a lot of negative things about this person that I would never say to their face. And I want to repent of that. I confess that to you, God. There's when you say those words out loud, it's not as if you're totally healed or whatever. But you feel more vulnerable and you feel more in tune with God and His Holy Spirit. So there's that. I think getting honest and verbally out loud saying the things that you struggle with, the things that you've sinned, those sins, and giving that to God and saying, I trust that you've forgiven me. I know you can change this about me. Help me, that kind of stuff. But then I think James tells us that that if we confess our sins to one another, then we will be healed. It is hard to confess to God, but it's a lot easier than telling someone else.
Yeah.
From my perspective, from my seat.
Point. Yeah.
And one of the practices I used to have that I'm trying to figure out how to get back into a regular rhythm on this is I would have a phone call once a week with a friend that I trusted where we would just confess all of our sins from the week to each other. We would just be honest and just, bleh, this is what I did. This is what I looked at. This is what I shouldn't have looked at. This is... you know, for instance, one of them would have been like, I got really angry with a friend and I used language I shouldn't have with that person. And just, it feels embarrassing to say it out loud. But when you confess and you say like, and you hear another human being say like, but you know, you're forgiven through Christ. Like, you know, like, but you've said it out loud, you've been vulnerable and it's stuff that you're like, you know, you're a human being and you sin and you're like, I don't want to say this, but I'm going to. If you get into that regular rhythm with somebody you can trust, mm-hmm. and you have them say back to you that they love you, that you're forgiven, and that Jesus loves them too, like it's a, I think that's why Jesus, or that's why James says rather, that if you confess your sins to one another, then you will be healed. Mm-hmm. It's not that we forgive on God's behalf necessarily. It is that by being vulnerable, the key to following Jesus is that honesty we talked about.
Yeah.
So A, I would say confess out loud to God or write it down. And then B, find somebody that you love, that you can trust. I would say probably the same gender. Somebody you love and somebody you can trust that you can then have a regular rhythm of just telling them what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I would say a regular rhythm is best, not like when things happen, because you'll be tempted to be like, I don't want to talk about that right now. But if you have an appointment on the calendar with this person, and you can just
that's the purpose of the appointment.
That's right.
Yeah.
It is literally a confession on the phone or in person or whatever. Mm-hmm. Then I think I've talked about this before when I talked about the disciplines. I think it was last year. Just make sure the person's trustworthy. And if somebody asks you if they can be somebody they confess to, I think that back and forth is probably a good idea, that person confesses as well, because then you have mutual trust and mutual vulnerability, which can be, it can be helpful in my opinion. So those would be the two things I would say. And then sign up for the text campaign.
Yeah. Yeah, all good things. And I think you're right, like that mutual, having to say it really, mm-hmm. it humbles us before God, right?
Yeah.
To admit it, because it's so easy to be like, maybe not actually saying that to yourself, but like, I'll deal with that messiness later, right? But if you know that you have to say something to someone else, mm-hmm. then, you know. And
that's
it's
right.
pretty hard to go to someone and go, yeah, I did nothing wrong.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I have nothing to talk about. And they're going to go, really?
Really?
Nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you figured out life then.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, because we all have garbage, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we
yep.
that we have to deal with. And so definitely, that's it's hard. That's a very hard thing to do, but very freeing as well.
It is a practice that we've lost mm-hmm. in the Protestant church. I think it's mostly because, like, and I'm not saying that going to somebody and that they're, by confessing to a priest or whatever, that your sins are forgiven. And we don't need to get into that. It is literally just the act of being vulnerable.
Yeah, the humility.
And mm-hmm. that leads to humility, which leads to dependence on God. And there's a whole great history of being honest about ourselves that I think gets lost in probably our Western culture probably. Yeah. And the big celebrity church type stuff. It can be tough too.
Yeah. 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 Oh, Andy, so good. Again, it's a good thing we have a timer or we would just
keep going. Yeah.
But it's always so fun to have you here. I always learn so much. And the listeners, thank you for being here. Andy mentioned the text campaign. So if you aren't already participating, you can text MORE to 419-419-0707. We have just a couple of messages that come out each week. The campus pastors also each recorded a message that is one of those texts that you get to watch. So if you haven't yet done that, we invite you to do that. And thank you so much for being here, for spending your time with us. We hope that this time reminds you that you matter and helps you to live that out as you go through your week.